the more you can connect the influencer and mission and their audience mm-hmm. with your product,
yep.
for sure it can be effective. I just think most people go, oh, I think so-and-so has a million fans, so I'm going to go get, you know, Justin yeah. Bieber to promote my whatever,
yep.
and nobody cares where he banks.
Well, welcome back to another episode of Good Business. Today, I've got a special guest, Kathy Lantrup. We had the honor of working together on a national campaign a couple years ago, and we've stayed connected ever since, and I love seeing what she's doing, and she's commented on us, and it's great to stay connected and learn from each other. And so, Kathy, thanks so much for being here. Would you mind just introducing yourself, kind of a little bit of your background, and sure. going from there?
Well, thanks, Clay.
Yeah.
Excited to be here. I'm a big fan of everything that you have going on, as you know. I backed into marketing is the truth of it. I did not go to school for it. I did not plan on going this direction. Jim and I were, it's my husband, and we were young and had three kids under the age of five and moved out to West Texas to help him start his first business. And I kind of helped grow that and while being a mom of some littles. And we planted a church. I was volunteering for political campaigns back then a little bit and got some experience in those things and looked up in 2008 and decided I wanted to do my own thing. I'd been in development for a little bit, business, corporate development, and had a great job and didn't have any reason to change, but I was meeting with entrepreneurs for a living basically and decided, why can't I do that? So in the middle of the night in 2008, I said, I'm going to start an agency, and it was called Lantrup Strategies, and I just knew it was strategic. Again, no degree in marketing, but really had a passion for telling stories and was good at that and found that my skill set basically was helping see an outcome and motivate folks to take actions to ultimately achieve that outcome. So helping mm-hmm. people win, helping other people win, which is the definition of marketing, really, if you simplify it. And so went to a local bank, and more on that later, but someone who should not have taken a chance on me took a chance on me just surely out of thinking I had the tenacity to do it, and was self-taught. And a decade later, looked back and had built a 7-figure agency, had worked with several amazing people, had represented the Benghazi survivors, worked on 2 presidential campaigns, helped 1 million young entrepreneurs start their first business through Lemonade Day, represented the Republic of the South Sudan. I mean, just a very wide variety of clients and experiences that ultimately took me back full circle to that banker that took a risk on me. Worked on a fintech with you for a time. And so through agency, I've had just some amazing experiences. In 2020, I felt like God was calling me to sell it and to go full time for the bank that was there. At the time, we were $800 million. We just passed $2 billion this year. Wow. And Vista Bank represents, it's a commercial bank, so it represents entrepreneurs. And looking back in January of 2020, what we couldn't know then and God knew was that I could represent 50 entrepreneurs as an agency or help thousands of entrepreneurs across the country survive what would be their hardest time in business ever. And so it was a blessing for both of us. John needed somebody to help him get the bank to the place where we were doing things in. You know, we were on the cover of Wall Street Journal because we were the second biggest Main Street lender in the country. And so he was willing to help businesses at that level. And I was willing to dive in and tell everybody that we were willing to do that. And they were absolutely happy to take the help. So, working at Vista Bank still and love that. And that's me.
That's wow. That's a lot into like a minute. So would you mind just kind of sharing a little bit about your journey in the agency world? Like, how did you grow it, and what was your goal in doing that? I know you said you wanted to help people, but what was that trajectory that you were on? And
yeah, I think, you know, starting out, I felt like it would be political. I had spent a lot of time at that point helping candidates win, and I felt like I'd be a political strategist. The thing is, that's very seasonal. And so as basically to supplement that, I ended up, you know, working on corporate work as well as causes, nonprofits and such, just to kind of fill in that gap. And then found myself loving working equally. It's the same skill set, just to help people reach their goals. Mm-hmm. And I think if you just do business with integrity and hustle and you know, try to be at the top of your game and where they see that you're going to work as hard as they do, because the people that hire you and I want somebody that shares their sense of urgency and work ethic, and you build a reputation for integrity and work ethic, and the rest you can learn along the way.
I love it. I love it. So what made you want to manage campaigns or, I mean, like...
A warped sense of pain, yeah, I don't know.
I've been in that realm too, and it's not, I wouldn't categorize it as fun.
No.
But what's the mindset behind that?
I would say I've always said it's the last true adult game. And so I think if you like to think strategically, there's, you know, in my business, it ebbs and flows and it's fluid and you can be winning, but there's very rarely a date, an hour that you have a defined closure to your victory or your loss.
It's true.
And in politics, it's very specific. Yeah. You either win or lose, and it's as of this day, this hour, or it should be.
Ideally.
Ideally. Hanging chads aside. So I think, you know, for me, I love strategy of it. Mm-hmm. And I love to be challenged. And it's the chess game of candidates, you know, having to find themselves and define their opponents to try to do that in the healthiest way possible. And it's 24-hour news cycles. It's very, you can be proactive all day long, but you have to be able to react very quickly and pivot. And so it's exciting. Fun, I don't know, fun is the right word for it. It's definitely a rush.
Yeah.
And if you look back when I started the agency, you'll get a kick out of this. I didn't call myself a CEO because I didn't think I was qualified to be CEO and wondered if one day I would hire a CEO of my company. I call myself the director of world change, which technically is bigger than a CEO, it was a great conversation starter with clients. And really that's what I think politics is. It's just the ability to really have measurable impact. And so we need more people doing it right, not just as candidates, but as managing campaigns and helping them.
Yeah. Well, and you guys as a family decided to get into politics too, right? You want to share a little bit about that?
For sure. Yeah. So right about that season early on, 2002, 2003, like I said, I'd been volunteering and helping our local congressman get elected. They, at the time, a lot of people in that campaign wanted me to run. And I would have loved it at the time, but again, I had three under five or six at the time. And it was just not, I didn't want to do that. My husband did have a desire to do it. And so we ran against the Speaker of the Texas House. That's a good first one to start off with. And put everything into that wholeheartedly, lost by 300 votes in the middle of the night. And it was a tough one with, you know, 30,000 votes cast. It was really close. But he would go on to win in 2011 and serve honorably and get a lot of amazing things done for Texas before being redistricted, which is off what happens sometimes when you take a stand. And he took a lot of them. So,
yeah. Wow. So y'all are all in on this whole world change.
We laugh that, you know, we kind of have spent 31 years now back to back, like with our arms crossed, fighting all these battles. You know, every once in a while we should turn around and say hello, you know, because truth.
Wow. Well, thank you guys for what you've done to make Texas great.
Well, thank you.
I think it's a fantastic and honorable thing. So when it comes to just the topic that you and I first started talking about when I was like, hey, Kathy, would you come onto the show? We're in the midst of a presidential election right now. And not to date this episode, because I'm hoping it'll be evergreen. We'll see.
Right.
But regardless of what year we're in, I think there's something that businesses really need to know about when it comes to running marketing campaigns in a very saturated political cycle. So I'd love it if we could just kind of pivot towards that. I mean, with all of your background in politics and marketing and supporting, I mean, you said some country in Africa, was it South Africa?
The Republic of the South Sudan. Oh, we represented that country. Yeah. But yeah, we worked for a congressman in Kenya. And
Yeah. So you've truly got an understanding of how this works. So would you mind just telling us, like, how does a political cycle like this affect marketing?
Sure, absolutely. Well, and you know, talk about being evergreen. We are all talking about it because of it. A is a presidential year, and it's a very contested, very divided presidential year. So it's obviously the topic of conversation. The truth is every year is a political cycle. Yep. And if you're in marketing, you've got to understand that. Whether you represent candidates or not, you're not good for the rest of your clients if you don't understand this cycle. So every 2 years, we're electing state representatives. Mm-hmm. Every 2 years, we're electing congressmen and women. Governors are every four, but they're on the off cycle. And then you have the mayors and local stuff that's also, so every year there are some races going on. So marketing companies with a leg up really understand that and plan and navigate it well.
So what would you say some key factors are to consider for businesses specifically?
For sure. I think, you know, thinking ahead is really, really important. Understanding the timing of it from a basic level in Texas, like say you're a Texas business and it applies anywhere. Understand the months that are going to be, it's a supply and demand issue of attention and inventory. And so understanding the months that will be most expensive is very strategic and smart. In Texas, you know, we're looking at primaries now, but they will happen in March. So your big spends will depend on how much money donors put into it. For sure, you'll see February and March races and ads really pick up. Media companies understand that they make a year long budget in within 6 weeks of this year. So they are going to pay rate guard and you don't want to. So understand that it's a timing issue. Know when the election dates are. So you've got your primaries coming up in March in Texas, and then the general will be in November. So that race will really start to pick up attention right after Labor Day and go through November 5th. You know, so understanding the timing, you can either choose to, if you have a business that's just kind of a steady business and you don't need to really hit certain seasons, like you don't have a big, you know, retail Christmas push or whatever, which wouldn't be hugely affected. Then you can either avoid those, you know, 6 to 8 week periods at a time and kind of go a little dormant and focus on other months. Or you can get creative and try to insert yourself within a very noisy space. But that's kind of what you need to think through is do you need to be noticed during that time or do you need to save the money? And then the other thing I think is really smart is understanding not just the timing, but your competition. Just because it's a presidential year doesn't mean that that's going to buy up your business's community, region, state. Texas is historically red. The primary, will the primary presidential candidates be buying in Texas? Doubtful, maybe. It depends. If there's a 20-point spread, probably not. Will the general, you know, whoever the Republican winner is in the general, will that person spend in Dallas, Texas? Probably not. I mean, because they need to be spending in 5 to 7 states in the country, and that's the truth of it. And so just because it's a big year doesn't mean that you will get lost in the mix either. You will for sure in PR, regardless. The comms piece of it is toast. but buying really comes down to understanding what is actually happening. And, you know, you have relationships. You and I have relationships with places where we buy media. And that's, you know, campaigns are buying media with machines and massive agencies that are just, you know, leverage those relationships to understand it if you don't. Have them help teach you or what they expect. And then over-communicate with them. Hey, you know, have people bought in yet? Is my rate card still going to clear? Because I buy highly preemptible a lot of times or rotators. Is that still going to clear? We're going to have to do make goods and stay ahead of it so that you can navigate that well. And then there's things you can do like things we should all be doing anyway, strengthening muscles in other areas and not being lazy with TV slash, you know, those types of things. But it's a great time to be guerrilla marketing. It's a great time to make sure that if you represent a restaurant or you're a restaurant that, you know, you've got your coasters out with the brand on it, or if you can't get a billboard in your area because of whatever, that you've wrapped the construction site in the neighborhood. So you have to be smarter, but it's the opportunity to really get 2% better for marketers and businesses to be doing the stuff we should be doing anyway.
I love it. I love it. So in essence, efficiency.
Yes. Yes.
You can't just put it on autopilot.
No,
it never works.
No.
So to business owners, if your agency is just, it's the same thing every single month. No, not the goal. And for agencies listening in, you've got to make sure that it's not just cookie cutter. You've got to have some sort of strategy that keeps all of this in mind. So the PR front, you mentioned that.
Yeah.
That's obviously, I think, the one question that everyone's like, all right, how do we still get eyeballs? And how do we still have a voice in this very saturated market? What has your strategy been? And do you get creative? And I mean, obviously not every business should insert themselves into political discussions, but is that how you handle that? What are your thoughts on that?
No, that's a great question. And as a brand, that's a question that you have to consider, because the pros and cons of inserting yourself into this noise are evident all around us. And you know, leaders like you and I and boards and whatever, we have our own political opinions, and you and I have both taken chances and shots based on those opinions. And it was worth it to us because we're difference makers. Right. Mm-hmm. But if you're kind of steady as she goes, good business that doesn't want to face the downside of that with certain audiences, then you need to avoid taking us aside, regardless of what you believe, because it will, there's potential brand damage. And so I think on the other side of that, we did an extensive study for a company that I was working with, and we looked at polling, and we were polling conservatives, but we did a poll the size of a presidential poll. So very good statistical data that showed, all cases being equal, if two companies have the same product, services, and are equally good at what they do, people are going to want to do business with people that share, companies that share their values. So if you share the values of your customers, and then it's a good time. Politics is a good time to come alongside those values with them. Just understanding that when you do that, you're alienating half the country.
Yeah.
And if your business and your board and your is good with that, then that is when you get in there. But if they're not, then you experience Bud Light or, you know, the Dixie Chicks, or I don't know. There's plenty of people that didn't really understand their audience very well, that got involved with their personal beliefs and political cycles, and it didn't end as well. Mm. In fact, there's probably more cases to be made like that than ones that did it right.
Yeah. Well, and if we can possibly speak a little bit about the fintech that we worked on.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll let you speak about it. But I mean, it was very much in that
100%.
In that line.
It's,
we knew our customer.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't afraid about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually worked.
It worked.
It worked. Do you want to speak to that at all?
Well, it's to say what worked, you would think it was still around. So it's confusing, and a lot of legal things that we won't get into. But on the marketing side, it worked. Yeah, no, 100% on the marketing side. I mean, In the reality, what we saw was the power of, you know, people don't want to be sold to. You know that with StoryBrand, people want to be a part of a story. And so as we were developing the marketing piece behind this fintech, from naming it all the way through to the social media post and whatnot, it was always about, and the founder, to his credit, saw that it was never about a cost per acquisition. I mean, it just, if we were talking about comparing ourselves to other fintechs and their cost per acquisition, we had lost.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I really saw the impact of influencer media. Mm-hmm. I think that, I mean, you witness it around you, but 9 times out of 10, that doesn't work either, because people are paid spokespersons persons and people don't want to be sold to.
Yeah.
They go to you to listen to you for commentary on this, that, or the other. They don't want you talking about vitamins they should be taking or slippers they should be wearing. So, you know, I think the reason that it worked, and we launched Piggy Newsjacking a weekend cycle, and with a strategic influencer that you and I both adore, and Candace Owens, that spoke directly to our clients in an Instagram post, and we had 6,000 clients within 48 hours. Mm-hmm. There's fintechs and banks and financial groups that don't have that in a lifetime of their business, and we had it in 48 hours. So it definitely resonated if you got the person that bought in.
Yeah.
The influencer bought in.
Yeah.
It wasn't a paid, you know, spokesperson. It was someone that was a co-founder, but really, really bought into the cause. And so her audience then believes her and she's transparent as can be. Mm. And yeah, it can, when it works, it can be fire.
Yeah.
For sure.
I love that. So you mentioned influencer media doesn't always work. Mm-hmm. I'd love to kind of pull on that thread a little bit.
Yeah.
Just with your experience, because I mean, that's a huge market right now.
For sure.
So why would you say, I know you've already related it to the fact that people don't want to be sold to, but why would you say that influencer media doesn't typically work?
I think too, it's a lot of times it gets out of somebody's vertical, right? So mm-hmm. if I'm, for example, I haven't aligned with, you know, we have all the NIL stuff that's happened with mm-hmm. the athletes. And it's that a lot of, you should be sponsoring XYZ athletes at colleges and whatnot to align with your brand. And I just don't see the data that says that XYZ linebacker on Alabama converts on, I should bank with that bank. I mean, again, the more you can connect the influencer and mission and their audience mm-hmm. with your product, for sure it can be effective. I just think most people go, oh, I think so-and-so has a million fans, so I'm going to go get, you know, Justin Bieber to promote my whatever.
Yep.
And nobody cares where he banks.
Yeah.
I mean, they just don't.
Yeah, it's true.
You mean, you know, have him talk about, you know, some sort of microphone that he uses or some sort of, then okay, that can
He's
make
great
sense.
At selling merchandise for Alabama.
For sure. Right, exactly. Exactly. So align the purposes very well and the audiences very well. And if they can speak transparently and honestly and passionately about a business, but if they're going to read a script about a business that's not aligned with what they do. I mean, micro influencers, I think, will be extremely effective because we were looking at that, in addition to Candace and others, was because, you know, an audience of 30,000 that is super motivated behind one person and you align with their audience and mission and multiplying those influencers could be more effective than getting a country western artist that may or may not. May have 5 million followers or 50 million followers, but again, don't align with what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, and I think a great example in our experience is we had a influencer on HGTV promote a heating appliance that you can install in your house. And that was perfect.
Right.
Because they were going to that person for advice already.
Right.
So, and same with Candace Owens. They were going to that person for advice already, and that's why
100%
it works so well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I love that. Okay. So, just in light of some successful strategies that we've already talked about, I'd love to know if you've got any other examples of just successfully marketing through a political cycle like this.
I think there's things that we've done personally and professionally, but if I look at one that I think everybody would resonate with, a company that's done it well, it's a media company in a sense, but and you're going to laugh, but Saturday Night Live has been brilliant at navigating political cycles.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I probably don't watch it any other time of the year, but when Will Ferrell and Dana Carvey and, you know, like all those classics that we still look back, Chevy Chase, I mean, they all did their political season, right? Where they were the candidates and they were equal opportunity offenders.
Yeah.
So comedy can bring a lot of relief to a very tense, stressful season.
Yep.
And only more so in the last 8 to 12 years than before. So I think that they've navigated it really well, through just making America laugh at ourselves a little bit, which is good. Comedy's really hard to pull off like as an advertiser. I think it's probably the hardest
Absolutely.
To pull off. But that's an example of a business that, you know, does it well pretty much year in, year out.
Yeah. And they tend to get the most views during
for
that
sure.
period.
I'm just want to say it. It definitely works for them. I mean, people tune in all the
yeah.
time and don't ever tune in else, you know, other times.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, no, that's great. So, with this political discussion, when you're thinking about just who would have the, I don't know, the grit or the heart or the ability to do what you do, to go full court press and engage in the political cycle, engaging not just in business, but in politics, and maybe marketing agency owner is listening right now and is inspired by you. What would you say they need to be able to best be prepared for that, to go into
yeah.
to that field?
I think it benefits the young.
Yeah.
I think politics benefits, youth benefits you in politics. Let me put it that way.
I'd love to say that to all of our current political candidates.
Not so much. I mean, yes. Candidates is you want a little bit of experience, maybe not quite so much. But definitely, you know, as far as like working, there's a reason they say that the world's run by 25-year-olds. Because if mm-hmm. you spend any time on the Hill here or DC, you see that it's the staffers
yeah.
of the, you know, 80 plus people yeah. that actually are awake and doing the job. But seriously, it's because it's really hard on a family,
yeah.
Especially if you're going to get involved at that level where you're actually like running campaigns and or serving in an office for an elected official. It is extremely time consuming mm-hmm. and high stress. So, there's a reason a lot of people get in and get out.
Yeah.
I think if you're doing it as an agency, you have to have the stomach for it. You have to understand that there's going to be people that don't like you, that don't like the fact that you took XYZ client over another. You have to be resolute in what your values and your beliefs are and be willing to speak truth on that.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that and you're willing to hustle and put in the work, you can learn again. You can learn to tell the story.
Mm.
The same skill set applies. You just have to the ones that do it best do it because they want to make an impact.
Mm.
And unfortunately, I would say most candidates go into, you know, the road to hell's lead paved with great intentions. I think most candidates go in with that reason
yeah.
too, right? And power and money corrupts the system and most everybody along the way. But if you have a heart for it, and it fascinates you and you love strategy
mm-hmm.
And you're willing to just work your ass off, then try it and,
yeah.
and you start small, start local, start small.
Yep.
And I did a race one time for a, education, person that in West Texas, there were 77 counties and you had zero budget because nobody cares who the, you know, education commissioners are. And so we crafted this PR tour where he had to hit 77 counties in 77 days.
Wow.
And so we just made it all, it was cheap, but like he had to do the work and we had to do the work and we had to tell the story in each county. And, you know, so like start small, you won't have a big budget, but
yeah.
you can test your chops and try to figure out how to win with less budget mm-hmm. and be scrappy. And then if you get the bug, you'll have the bug and you'll know it and you'll,
yeah.
you'll do other stuff. And before long, everyone who runs will come to you.
I love that. I love that. So do you want to continue in the political realm or are you done? are you like, hey, I did my time. We made the impact. I'm enjoying working at Vista.
Let's go move to the beach.
Yeah.
No, I don't think yeah, I had three grandparents live over 100.
Wow.
So I'm literally at 55 middle-aged. And so I look at it and I think it's hard to think of walking away from making an impact. And
yeah.
I do believe so much in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in the founding principles. We are messy and imperfect and scarred, and I'm not naive, but I do think it's the greatest nation God gave man. And I look at how we've lost so much freedom. because we're comfortable.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, we're too comfortable. We're too well off as a nation.
Yeah.
I took my oldest son to Africa after his junior year because I wanted him to understand what poverty was.
Mm.
Because we think poverty, and I'm not saying there's not poverty here, but we think poverty is you only have one car and one cell phone and what, you know, and I was in high school and that was our life. We shared a car between five people and, you know, we've become so affluent as a country that our standards have changed. And that's good. We should aim for those things.
Yeah.
But it's, you can't take for granted what we've been given here and what we've been blessed with. And I think because of that, we're having conversations over ridiculous things and losing freedoms right and left. And look at COVID and how quickly we gave up freedom for what we perceived to be security and lost a lot of both.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say is your encouragement to business leaders, local folks thinking about running for office, agency owners? What would you encourage them in light of that?
I think that the way that we push back for freedom is to speak truth. I mean, if you look at, that's a very biblical principle, is that there's truth, there's freedom in truth. And we have to be willing then to take a stand on values and principles that we know are true. Mm. And that's hard because you feel like you're, you know, you don't need to do it by arguing on Facebook. There's a way to do it, but you need to be able to say truth. Truth will put darkness where it needs to be. And so if you can do that as a business owner, if you look for opportunities to do that with your children, your family, and your community, and then in your business, and just take stronger and stronger stances and not be afraid of that. I love, like, for example, I'm a huge fan of Tucker Carlson, and I love right now how he's just, and has been, you know, for several recent years, but just really just calling it as he sees it. And Candace is the same way, but I just appreciate people that are not afraid to get the hate mail and the hate letters and the death threats and everything because they just speak truth.
Yeah.
And that we can all do that in our own sphere of influence.
Yeah. You know, I've, on
you
another,
do it all the, you do it all the time. No, you're a perfect, example.
Yeah. Well, I was encouraged. One of the, other guests on the season this year, he's running for a local city council seat. And he was speaking pretty much the exact same thing that you are, which is, hey, it doesn't even matter what side we're on. I mean, it doesn't even matter if blue, red, purple, pink, whatever it is. What matters is, are we aiming to help our fellow man? Are we aiming to protect the freedom that we have? Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. It's not about a political party. It's about doing what's right.
Right.
And speaking truth.
Right.
And if someone is struggling with that, not villainizing them, not alienating them, saying, hey, I care about you.
Right.
And reaching across the aisle. I think that's
a lost art.
It is a lost art. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something that we are all craving.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Oh, 100%.
In this entire country is craving right
100%.
now. 100%. And
can we just be normal and have a conversation and make some common sense decisions? Like communication, reaching across the aisle, has gone out the window, but so is just common sense on both parties.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Some of the conversations and arguments that we're having and decisions that we're making because of what?
Yep. Eating our own.
Eating our own. Yeah. Right. For sure.
Yeah. So, so I mean, I've personally been encouraged by people like you, by the other guests on this season that are speaking that kind of truth. And I hope you guys listening in are encouraged by it as well, because it's going to be a crazy year. It is a crazy year already. And having just the tangible principles that you've provided today for how to run your business during this, how to be an agency owner that's thinking, hey, how do I get involved and make a difference? How do I support the right people that should be in office that are willing to go on the front lines? I think.
And sometimes you're going to be wrong about that sometimes, right? I mean, you might think.
I was wrong about that when I stepped in as a campaign manager.
Yes.
That was a mistake.
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens. Or you'll endorse the wrong person or then you endorse somebody and someone else gets in afterwards and you're like, ah, oh, I wish I'd waited or, you know, but you may do the next right thing. You do the next best right thing and pray about it and realize that sometimes you're going to make the wrong call or that you pick a candidate that wasn't what you thought and you try to do better the next time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what's kind of a parting piece of wisdom if you can? I mean, all of this is amazing. But what's some parting advice you'd give to business leaders who are just right on the edge?
Right on the edge
of wanting to say, hey, we're doing a little bit more than what we have been.
Yeah.
Getting involved. I mean, what would you say is your encouragement on that?
If you're going to just take that next step again, start small where you can try to establish some wins. Mm-hmm. You know, I say that I jumped into a big race right out of the gate. That was not my personal experience, but I did have a team around me, you know, but honestly, even that I look back and the three of us had no clue what we were doing. I will put this out there. The agencies / people that have made a living doing this for the most part, that all they do is there are good apples, but not many. Mm. And if you think about it, they're reverse incentivized, Clay. They're reverse incentivized to spend as much money as can come in by a certain date. In some sense, not their own fault. You know, donors don't want their money sitting in an account of a loser.
Yeah.
But in some sense, you look back at like, perfect example was Jeb Bush. His people blew $130 million in a primary where he never got above fourth place and they spent it all. I was on the campaign trail that cycle and I watched in towns where, you know, a digital billboard has six clients on it. He was all six. In running eighth place, it was not going to change, but they had to spend the money to make their commissions. Mm. And so if you can step into it as an agency with integrity, if you can step into it and spend as strategically as you would if it was your own money instead of opium.
Yeah.
Then not only will you be way more likely to win, you also will be way more likely to build a reputation that is attractive to the right candidates and the right causes and the right clients as an agency, because you will have proven that you get it and that you're going to do it the right way.
Hmm. I love it. Kathy, the time flew by.
Where did it go?
I just got the note saying, hey, we're out of time. But this was such a fun conversation.
Oh, thank you
so much for making the hike out from Lubbock for us in studio here in Austin. And guys, thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Good Business with Kathy Landrieu. We'll see you guys next week. And in the meantime, hit that subscribe button. Give us a 5-star review if you're listening in on Apple Podcasts, or just leave some feedback. We'd love to hear how you're enjoying this episode. Kathy, before we wrap, how can people engage with you? And it sounds to me like everyone needs to go bank with Vista.
Right?
Right, yeah.
700% growth in the last few years, I'll just say. No, I'm on social. I mean, I'm not as active
LinkedIn.
I'm on LinkedIn. Right. LinkedIn is probably the most social that I am these days. I am writing a book. So maybe I'll come back and talk about that at some point.
Sounds great.
I'm excited about that and about, it's going to be about kind of women that are, created as really strong alpha women in a very gender confused world. Shouldn't be, but is.
Yeah.
And how do we lean into that to be all the leaders that God's created us to be? How do you marry and love a woman that's wired like that? How do you manage a woman that's wired like that? So I think it'll be good. I'm writing it for my daughter, but I'm hoping that it'll be a playbook for others as well.
I love it. So follow Kathy on LinkedIn and you'll stay in the loop on all that's to come. So we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks. Thank you, Kathy.